Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our glorious Lord and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for all practical purposes, Christmas has already arrived. Our children and our grandchildren are on Christmas break from school. Many parents either are on vacation or will very soon be taking a few days off. Out-of-town guests have started to arrive. The fact that Christmas is, for all practical purposes, already here may leave us feeling more weighed down than ever before. There is the weight that might come from knowing that we weren't able to buy all of the presents that our loved ones had asked for. There is the weight that might come from knowing that our Christmas party did not go precisely as planned. And then there is the weight that comes from knowing that we did not always use the 4 weeks of Advent to properly prepare our hearts and to prepare our lives for the birth of our Savior. If that is the case for you, then perhaps all the frenzy and all the distractions that December brought into our life has actually done us a favor. Now, as the Lord prepares to draw near to us through the incarnation of his Son, we, the people of God, have been humbled. We have been stretched to our limits. We have been painfully reminded of our sins and our shortcomings. We have realized the futility of even our very best efforts. If that is the case for you, then the good news proclaimed to us in all three of our scripture lessons for today is exactly what we needed to hear. Being weighed down by our burdens, being made aware of our weaknesses, certainly does not disqualify us from God's attention and God's care. In fact, it does the exact opposite. It prepares us. It prepares us for the work that our God does best. With that truth in mind, let's conclude our sermon series entitled A Real Christmas by seeing how a real Christmas lifts up the lowly. Our text for today overflows with the truth that a real Christmas lifts up the lowly. Look at verses 39 through 41. Luke writes, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." At that time. With these words, Luke takes us back to the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary. Even though Mary was indeed a virgin, Gabriel revealed that through the power of the Holy Spirit, she was going to give birth to a son, and not just any son. Mary's son would be the Son of the Most High God himself. Mary's son would be given the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary's son would be the long-awaited promised Messiah. And even though Mary humbly believed what Gabriel had revealed to her, God went on to graciously give her proof. Proof that what Gabriel had said would indeed come true. That proof is found in the words, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." So what did Mary do? She eagerly got ready and she went to visit Elizabeth, excited by the news of her own miraculous pregnancy, and excited about the news of Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy. Mary wanted to sit and talk with perhaps the one person who could truly understand the depth of God's grace and the breadth of God's power. Elizabeth's reaction to this unexpected visit from Mary is yet another beautiful example of how a real Christmas lifts up the lowly. The Holy Spirit made sure that Luke recorded Elizabeth's reaction for you and for me. Luke writes, In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Before Mary could even share with Elizabeth the glorious news of the angel Gabriel, the good news of Christmas lifted up the lowly Elizabeth. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth blessed both Mary and her unborn child. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth's unborn child, whom you and I, of course, know as John the Baptist, leaped for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Mary recognizes that even though she didn't deserve it, the Lord graciously gave her the favor of having the mother of my Lord come to me. You might be interested in knowing that this is the first time in Luke's gospel that he uses the name the Lord in direct reference to Mary's child. The previous 9 times that Luke uses this name, he is very obviously referring to the one and only living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am, the God who established his covenant with his chosen people. And the 20th time that Luke uses this same name in direct reference to Mary's child is when the Christmas angel said to the lowly shepherds, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The fact that Mary's child is indeed the Lord, the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the only reason that we can confidently say today that a real Christmas lifts up the lowly. That then brings us to the heart and core of our text for this morning, Mary's Magnificat. As we look at Mary's Magnificat, the Holy Spirit makes it abundantly clear that a real Christmas does indeed lift up the lowly. The first application of that truth is found in Mary herself. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Mary realized that the only reason she was blessed was not because of who she is or what she had done. Mary knew that, like each and every one of us, she is indeed a sinner who needed a Savior. Mary knew that she was blessed because of who her God is and what her God had done. All of Mary's praise and all of Mary's adoration was directed outside of herself to the Lord her God. That's why Mary's soul glorified the Lord. That's why Mary's spirit rejoiced in God her Savior. That's why Mary humbly recognizes that she is the Lord's lowly servant. And that's why Mary confesses that the only reason that generations will call her blessed is because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Yes, my friends, Mary is a beautiful, wonderful example of how a real Christmas lifts up the lowly. We need to follow Mary's example, especially as we are now preparing to once again celebrate the birth of the child of Bethlehem. Even if we were the smartest or the strongest person on earth, even if we were the most attractive or the most charismatic person who has ever walked on the face of this earth, we do not deserve to receive the greatest Christmas gift of all, the Heavenly Father's gift of his only begotten Son, sent into this world to save us from our sins. But when we are filled with the humility of the Virgin Mary, when we strive to be, not just outwardly act, but when we strive to be as lowly as the Virgin Mary, Then we will experience on a very personal level how a real Christmas lifts up the lowly. Then our soul will be able to glorify the Lord. Then our spirit will be able to rejoice in God our Savior. Then we will see and understand and acknowledge that the Holy One has done great things for me. Mary's Magnificat then highlights that a real Christmas lifts up the lowly by reminding us that the child of Bethlehem has, how shall we say, a unique way of dealing with the people of this world. Look at verses 50 through 55. Mary continues, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has healed his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary's Magnificat is both simple and profound. Throughout history, from generation to generation, God extends his mercy to those who fear him. That is, to those who recognize his greatness, to those who honor and respect his majesty. Mary also praises and glorifies God for demonstrating the depth and the breadth of his power on both a physical level and on a spiritual level. The lowly are raised, the poor are honored, the hungry are fed, but at the same time, the proud are scattered, the mighty are brought down, and the rich are sent away empty. And finally, Mary's Magnificat praises and glorifies God for demonstrating his mercy and his goodness to Abraham and his descendants. In other words, God kept his promise. Didn't he? God kept his promise to send the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, into this world. The mercy of this Savior God will indeed endure forever to all who look to him as the source of their eternal salvation. A real Christmas lifts up the lowly. This is how our God works, my friends, through a lowly birth. In the lowly, little, humble town of Bethlehem, God's eternally begotten Son comes into our broken world. His kingdom was not established through power and glory, but in suffering and shame. His honor is not secured by the pomp and the circumstance of this world, but by the cross on Calvary's hill. His victory was not proclaimed by blaring trumpets and long columns of soldiers marching in unison, but by two angels standing outside an empty tomb, saying to a group of lowly women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen just as he said." And so, yes, for all practical purposes, Christmas has arrived. In just two short days, we'll gather together here in God's house to once again celebrate the birth of this world's only Savior from sin. Is there still anything that is weighing you down, my friends? Perhaps there are presents that you were not able to purchase for your family and your friends. Perhaps there were Christmas parties that you were not able to attend. Perhaps it's the burden of recognizing your own shortcomings, your own weaknesses, and your own sins. No matter who you are, no matter what type of criticism you might hear people directing your way, no matter what Satan himself might whisper into your ear as you are looking in the mirror, even if you were the lowliest person to walk on the face of this earth, a real Christmas lifts you up. A real Christmas lifts you up by giving you the ability to find your comfort and your joy in the fact that your Heavenly Father loves you. Yes, you so very much that he was willing to send his only begotten Son into this world to be your Savior from sin. with the comfort and the joy of a real Christmas embracing our hearts, let's stand alongside the lowly Virgin Mary and say, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The Holy One has done, the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. To God be the glory. Amen." Amen. Please rise.